Audacity. Who gave you attitude? The Tobago electorate go to the polls on December 6 to vote for the Tobago House of Assembly. And more developments also in this edition of the Caribbean News Roundup, coming right up. The people of Tobago are going to the polls in December after almost 10 months of unprecedented Tobago House of Assembly deadlock. Chief Secretary Ansel Dennis made the announcement at Wednesday's post-executive media briefing, as TTT News reported.
Having consulted with the Prime Minister and the President as required by law, I am pleased and relieved to announce that Tobago will return to the polls for another Tobago House of Assembly election on the 6th of December 2021.
Mr. Dennis said he is satisfied with the completion of the process by the Elections and Boundaries and Commission, adding that the People's National Movement has always believed returning to the polls is the only solution to resolving the deadlock. He said it was not an easy task over the past months, but they made a commitment to lead with restraint.
I am happy that we were able to do so. And I think over the last few months, the team managed quite well given the circumstances. So I am happy and relieved that we can now go back to the polls within 2 months from now, the 6th of December, so that the people of Tobago will have their say.
Mr. Dennis added that the new 15-seat arrangement is also a suitable one to avoid another tie.
In Guyana, massive bleeding of the brain and heart disease have been listed as the cause of death of a 13-year-old boy. The teenager collapsed and died shortly after he was administered a second dose of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine on Monday. More from Guyana News Source.
The postmortem was conducted by government pathologist Dr. Nihal Singh, who found that the teen suffered massive bleeding in his brain before he collapsed and died 2 hours after he took the vaccine. The young boy Joshua Henry complained to his parents about feeling unwell moments before he collapsed and died at home after returning from the vaccination site. The parents also reported seeing a dark color on his skin close to his joints. The Ministry of Health has launched a full investigation into the boy's death. Samples have been taken from his organs for additional scrutiny abroad. The Ministry of Health is continuing its investigation. A team was dispatched to the Region 1 community of Moruka to begin the probe into the young child's death.
Meanwhile, latest reports say an autopsy conducted on the 13-year-old schoolboy found that he died because of bleeding in his brain, the Ministry of Health said in a statement. The autopsy was prompted after Henry died on Monday, a few hours after receiving a second dose of the Pfizer vaccine for the novel coronavirus COVID-19. In the statement, the Ministry of Health said there was no scarring or hematoma, a collection of blood under the skin found near the vaccination site. It said the cause of death was a ruptured cerebral or brain aneurysm that led to cerebral hemorrhage. The ministry said that the aneurysm was a pre-existing condition. An aneurysm usually occurs when a bulge forms in a blood vessel in the brain and fills with blood. Health experts said aneurysms often produce no symptoms unless they burst open or leak blood, and a severe headache and a fatal stroke may occur if that happens. In Joshua's case, the ministry reported that the ruptured aneurysm led to brain bleed. In Jamaica, hundreds of summer school teachers have not yet been paid. TVG News reports.
Months after the national summer school program ended, hundreds of teachers enrolled in the program have not been paid. The ministry provided an update at today's post-cabinet press briefing. Anthony Lugg reports.
The summer might have come and gone, but over 900 teachers enrolled in the National Summer School Program have been wondering when they'll be paid. On Tuesday, opposition spokesperson on education Dr. Angela Brown-Burke made this revelation.
The summer school teachers are bawling because they don't get paid. Them tired of the letter and the whole word. They need to be paid. Many of our temporary teachers have also not been paid.
So, at Wednesday's post-cabinet press briefing, our new center sought answers from the education minister.
Now, I can't stand here and say every single payment has been made, but I know that, where there are outstanding payments, efforts are made to ensure that we have the correct data.
According to the ministry, close to 3,500 teachers were enrolled in the program. However, close to 950 have not been paid. Acting Permanent Secretary Dr. Grace McLean offered this reason for the delays.
Based on the quality of the information that we have been receiving, especially for those teachers who are not employed in the government system or who worked at a school that teacher is not employed, we had to do some detailed analysis to make sure that nobody is double paid. And earlier this week, last week, we took the decision to allow our bursar paid institutions to pay those teachers from those bursar paid schools.
And despite this explanation, it's understood that some teachers have been fuming about the payment delays. Dr. McLean says the ministry takes full responsibility.
Of course, you know, we have to make sure that we have accurate information. Our teachers' TRN must be accurate. The banking information must be accurate. And the team at Central has spent quite a bit of time just calling our teachers to ensure that we have the accurate information, because as we try to input on the system rejects if they are not correct. And so we believe we have sorted out all the kinks, and we are committed to ensuring that by about the 15th of October, we would have completed the payment.
U.S. immigration authorities have cut the frequency of deportation flights to Haiti to one per day this week. That's because, reportedly, of a sharp decline in the number of Haitian migrants trying to enter the United States, according to three administration officials. According to the Washington Post, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement operated as many as seven flights per day to Haiti last week, returning more than 700 migrants daily. On Tuesday, the agency returned 57. The cause of the drop-off: most of the Haitians taken into custody last month at a makeshift camp in Del Rio, Texas, have been processed by immigration authorities, and far fewer Haitians have crossed since the camp's closure on September 24th, according to the three officials. President Biden's handling of Haitians at the border drew scathing criticism from Democrats and Republicans, and some of the president's opponents claimed that his administration had released most of the migrants into the United States. The latest Department of Homeland Security statistics show the opposite. Most of the roughly 15,000 who reached the Del Rio camp were returned to Haiti or opted to cross back into Mexico to avoid being sent to their destitute homeland. Two homeless men in the St. Lucian community of Viewfort are said to be posing serious problems for a few businesses. The homeless problem there is having a negative impact as more Clark Street businesses denounce a serious and foul waste problem. HGS Newsforce explains.
The owners of establishments are coming forward with troubling stories of their own since Newsforce first chronicled the plight of some exasperated entrepreneurs. Individuals on Skid Row have been relieving themselves indiscriminately along Clark Street. One businessperson who declined to appear on camera says the proprietors have incurred a heavy tab for the upkeep of the storefront.
There is a big problem on Clark Street, Viewfort, with vagrants. We as businesspersons are very concerned because two notorious vagrants known as Jordan and Alalu are defecating and throwing garbage near the business premises. It is a cost to power wash around our business premises. We have spoken to the authorities, mainly the police, town council, and environmental health, and these vagrants are still on the street. We are asking and pleading to the authorities to please assist us with this situation.
Former president of the St. Lucia Small Business and Industrial Association, Tedbert Thiebel, says the unsanitary practices of two homeless men have become a chronic problem which requires urgent attention.
Every morning when I come in to go to my office, I have to virtually get the office attendants to wash down the steps. I know of a particular person where I park my car, where she has had to power hose the place.
Even street vendors have had to bear the pungent stench and repulsive eyesores of human waste and trash strewn about the streets in downtown Beaufort, the heartbeat of commercial activity in the south. The upset business owners hope that their outspoken stance in the media will spur the authorities to action. Joachim Du Plessis, HTS News Force.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup for today, Friday, October 8th. I'm Ken Richards. Thanks for listening.